In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, I read from verse 9 through 13. Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from him, his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I read that passage in order to read the 12th verse. It was my pleasure last Sunday to speak upon, about the Word of God. And I want to, the Lord helping me, conclude that particular meditation this morning. So many voices abroad in the land today claiming to have talked face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many others who claim to have seen God and receive orders and instructions from him by word of mouth. To the law and to the testimony, what saith the word of God? I'm reading from Hebrews again, chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by, or through, or as the Son. Now that's all I want to read just now. God has spoken in times past to the fathers. God has spoken to us. Now, in time past, God spoke directly to man. As you go through the book of Genesis, you find God speaking face to face by word of mouth. Not until we come to Moses do we have God speaking through intermediaries, or as we shall see, by or through the prophets. God spoke to Adam and to Eve. God spoke to Cain and to Abel. God walked and talked with Enoch. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. God spoke to Joseph. But God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. And on from the time that God spoke to Moses from the burning bush until John the Baptist, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. I tried to emphasize last Sunday that God did not speak to the fathers through the priest, but through the prophets. There were only two of the prophets who were priests, but they had been priests before God called them to be the prophet. Now, God spoke directly in the book of Genesis from the time of Moses in the beginning of Exodus to John the Baptist, the third chapter of Matthew. God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. Through the prophets. Now, with the conclusion of the ministry of John the Baptist, God spoke directly once again in His Son. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have God speaking directly to man in His Son, the Son being very God of very God. With the conclusion of the four Gospels and the beginning of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we have God speaking through or by those who heard Jesus. Now, I want to begin there this morning because it's in this area that we have so many conflicts and misunderstandings today. In the closing chapter of the Gospel of Mark, turn there if you please. Don't be misled by some modernist who want to leave out these last few verses of the Gospel of Mark. Two devices adopted by man to do away with Scripture that he cannot handle or that he doesn't choose to believe. He either says it's to the Jew or he says it doesn't belong in the Bible. Far easier to take it as it is than to do away with it. Verse 15. Mark 16. He said unto them, to his disciples, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues or new languages. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Early in my ministry, I came under the influence and in contact with those who vainly imagined they could heal and could talk in tongues and do many of these various things. And I gave it special study in the Word of God, in countless number of books written by the charismatic school, and also going and hearing and observing and listening to those who claim these gifts, including Amy Semple McPherson herself. I went to see and to hear in Los Angeles at the Angelus Temple. And one day in the wisdom of God and the time of God, I'll tell you about that. I went and listened to other cities and heard her first lieutenant. And I've studied them, and I know a little bit about wherever I speak when I speak of them and when I speak of the Word of God. Well, during that time, I gave special attention to this. And here, in verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. I came to two conclusions. Number one, I believe. Now, don't tell me that I do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, because I do. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this verse says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Number two, those signs did not follow me. Now, these two conclusions. I believe. The Word says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They didn't follow me. Now, the third conclusion to which I came was that this was not written to me. Now, how about you? Do you believe? Do these signs follow you? Now, it doesn't say if you have faith. It doesn't say if you're obedient and don't sin. It doesn't say if you're dedicated and committed. It just says these signs follow them that believe. Now, don't add to the Word of God. Just leave it like it is. It doesn't say these signs will follow those that believe and seek for them. It doesn't say these signs will follow those that believe and pray it through. It just simply says these signs follow them that believe. I'm always hearing this passage of Scripture, even this morning while I was dressing, listening to some of the programs that come on the air to learn how not to do certain things. One came out with the passage from Isaiah, "By his stripes we are healed." Okay. It tells about how we're saved. And then it says, "By his stripes we're healed." All right. If that means me, then I'm healed. If that means you, you're healed. It doesn't say you have to do something else. And if healing was in the atonement, the minute I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I was healed of every illness and every sickness. But I haven't been. Nor has anybody else. Because the hospitals are still filled. And people are on waiting lists to get into the hospitals. And they cannot get enough doctors to minister to the sick Christians. And the Christians were not healed by his stripes. Healing is not in the atonement. More of that later. But this conclusion was mine. I believe. I'm a Christian. I'm as much as a Christian as any other human being who has ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was as sanctified the moment I believed as I will be 10 billion years into eternity. I was set aside the minute I believed to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Now, there is a thing known as growth in grace and knowledge, but not in being set aside. I can be set aside no more to the Lord than I was the minute I believed. So, I judge that this is somebody else's letter, and it wasn't written to me. Neither is it written about me, but it is written for me, and I can learn from it. So let's go on here in the 16th chapter of Mark. Now here are the signs that follow this particular group that believes. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new languages. Nowhere in the Bible does the word translated tongue mean anything other than language. We hear the gospel preached in our mother tongue, said the group at Pentecost, meaning they heard it in their mother language. All right. They'll take up serpents. I marvel at those who claim these gifts as charismatic gifts and Pentecostal gifts, and they're for us. I marvel at the large number who claim that run from snakes. And I marvel at the way they ridicule these poor, innocent beings who handle snakes. I marvel that they begin not every service with passing around poisonous concoctions and demonstrating to everybody that they believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I went to visit a man one day who was sick and afflicted, and there'd been another preacher in his office just before I went in. And this other preacher said, do you mind if I pray for you? And I said, of course not. And I bowed their head. And while he had his head bowed, dumped a bottle of olive oil on his head and started praying over him. I said, well, did it heal you? No, it didn't heal him. Brother, there's something wrong somewhere. When the scripture says, anoint them with oil and pray over them, they shall be healed. And then they anoint them with oil and pray over them, and they're not healed. There's something wrong somewhere. Well, let me tell you this. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God. But people haven't learned to rightly divide the Word of truth. They have not. One minister here in town, pastor of a large church, tried to explain to me one day that all of these things in here are written for us. And we can't say that this part was written to the Jews, and this is written to Christians, and this is written to Gentiles. It's all written to us. Every bit of it. And we're supposed to do everything it says in the Bible. I asked him facetiously how he was coming along with his ark. And he said, what ark? I said, the one God told Noah and you to build. He said, well, that's not to me. I said, do you go to Jerusalem 3 times a year to worship? No. Why not? The Bible says for every male between the age of 20 and 60 to so do. No, that's not to us. I said, do you offer animal sacrifices? No, that's not to us. Do you worship on Saturday? No, I worship on Sunday. I said, you're just a crazy mixed up kid, aren't you? Well, there are things in here to Israel. There are things in here to Christians. There are things for us. There are things for them. And there are things for others. And rightly dividing the word of truth is the capacity and the ability to determine that which is for us and that which is not. Well, let's go on. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they, these disciples up here, to whom the Lord had been speaking, they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. As the disciples went preaching, the Lord in heaven seated at the right hand of God the Father, confirm the word which they preach with these signs following. Now we have three words used. We have signs, wonders, and miracles. The word sign means very much what it does in English. It's a sign. It points to something. And the signs that were shown here as they preached the word were signs that they were from God. When Moses and Aaron were preparing to go to Pharaoh, Moses asked, "What shall I show, or how shall I demonstrate to them that I have come from you?" And he gave them signs. Now he gave the disciples signs to demonstrate. And these signs were pointing to the fact that he was from God. The next word is wonder. W-O-N-D-E-R. It made the people wonder. Who are these men? Are they messengers of God? Are they some God themselves? As the natives of the city thought of Paul and Silas. They caused wonderment on the part of the people. The other word is that of powers. The Greek word is dunamis, from which we have our word dynamite and dynamo. And they showed forth the power that only one from God could have. And it's classically illustrated in the experience of Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night and said, "Master, we know that thou art come from God, because no man can do the works that thou doest except God be with him." And that was the purpose of the signs, wonders, and the miracles, or powers. Now, they went forth. The Bible had not been written. They had the Old Testament. And that's all they had. But I want you to notice, now here, and this will help you, this verse of Scripture, this last verse. They went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now back to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and this is a key verse of Scripture. And if you get this, you're not going to have much trouble with your inability to perform all these signs, wonders, and miracles. All right, Hebrews chapter 2. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape a just recompense or reward? How are we going to escape getting exactly what we deserve at the judgment seat of Christ if we don't pay attention to the Word of God?" That's what he's talking about. If we neglect, not reject, if we neglect so great a salvation. The colored minister preaching upon that, trying to explain it to his flock who were having difficulty understanding it, turned to the passage of Scripture where they were urged to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. He says, "You're to work it out." He says, "You can't work out no cotton crop if you ain't got one. And you can't work out no salvation if you ain't got it." Now you get it and then you work it out. And here you cannot neglect it if you don't have it. You can reject one you don't have, but you can't neglect one that you don't have. "If we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him." Now there is an expression worthy of all of your study and meditation. "Was confirmed unto us by them that heard him." Now, we had God speaking directly to the fathers through the prophets, directly to men in Genesis. Then he spoke to them through the prophets. Then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he spoke through Jesus Christ. Then when we come to the Acts of the Apostles, we have him speaking to them by those who heard him. By those who heard him. And those who heard him were the apostles. Those who heard him were the apostles. That's all. Someone asked me not long ago about the laying on of hands and conferring of spiritual blessings upon people. I said the apostles were the only ones commissioned to do that, and they were the only ones who had done it. And no man of God so called has ever bestowed a spiritual blessing upon somebody else by the laying on of hands since the day of the apostles. And only the apostles did that. Only the apostles. Now, by them that heard him. By them that heard him. Now, those who heard the Lord Jesus Christ, those who heard him, they went forth preaching, and their preaching was confirmed with signs following. Their preaching was confirmed. We read that right here. God bearing witness with signs, wonders, and miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. Confirmed. The Bible still not completed. The Bible not completed. The books in the New Testament, many of them had not been written. So, when the apostles went forth preaching, they had the ability to perform these signs. But as you study the Acts of the Apostles, you soon are confronted with the fact that when Paul went to see Timothy on one occasion, Timothy explained to Paul that he was having trouble with his stomach. I don't think he's the last preacher who had trouble with his stomach. But he was having trouble. Why didn't Paul say, be healed? Why didn't he say, be healed? He's getting ready to go on a trip and going to take Trophimus with him, and Trophimus was sick, and Paul had to go off and leave him. On another journey, he's getting ready to go, and Epaphroditus was to accompany him, and he was sick, and Paul waited for him to get well so he could take him with him. Why didn't he heal him? Because the day of healing had ceased. And he turned to Timothy. When Timothy started complaining about it, he said something that has embarrassed many preachers since. It's never bothered me any. Those things don't bother me. He told him, he said, you take a little wine for your stomach. He said, little. Now, I don't know about that. Papa used to give us a spoonful of whiskey for a cough, but he filled a spoon with salt so that we didn't develop any taste for whiskey. Did you ever taste with salt in it? Well, you'll never develop a taste for liquor that way. But they have it. They have it. A doctor told me once when our second baby was born, he said, Ed, the little baby's not going to live. Said, I'm going to have to give her some whiskey to see if I can stimulate her heart. I said, give it to her. He said, well, I don't have any. I'll have to buy it. I said, well, buy it. He said, well, I'll have to charge it to you. I said, well, charge it to me. It didn't worry me if somebody charged a pint of liquor to me. Well, medicinal purposes. Take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Now, that was Paul to Timothy. That wasn't me to you. And I don't know if that's your doctor to you. You just let Paul and Timothy wrestle with that. I don't care. But he did. He didn't heal him. Now, something had happened. Something had happened. No more miracles. No more miracles. And, beloved, when you come to Acts 28:28, turn there for just a minute. You come to Acts 28:28. I'm going to tell you something that will make your coming here this morning more than worthwhile. Just this one thing, if nothing else. But when you come to Acts 28, you have no more miracles performed after this date. This is the end of them. This is the end. What do we read there? Be it known therefore unto you. When you come to Acts 28:28, turn there for just a minute. You come to Acts 28:28. I'm going to tell you something that will make your coming here this morning more than worthwhile, just this one thing, if nothing else. But when you come to Acts 28, you have no more miracles performed after this date. This is the end of them. This is the end. What do we read there? Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles and that they shall hear it. This was when God turned his back on Israel. This was when God set Israel aside temporarily. He set her aside. And when he set her aside and turned to the Gentiles, the Jew who required a sign being set aside no longer had need of a sign because he set aside. The Gentiles who walked by faith and not by sight didn't need a sign. But when we come here, the most interesting thing. Now, if you want to know what to do with a passage of Scripture, let me show you how you can handle this for yourself. Now, if you've got Acts 28:28, if you will look at the top of the page there in the margin, in a Bible like I have, you see it says A.D. 63. A.D. 63. All right. Now, where are the books that tell of miracles? Well, 1 Corinthians 12. Now, hold your place there at Acts and then turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Those are the passages of Scripture that are used today. And look at the top of the margin and see when this book was written. See when this book was written. And my Bible shows that it was written about 59 A.D., or 4 years before. 4 years before the cessation of miracles. Have you got that? 4 years before. 4 years before. Now, what's another book? They call for the elders of the church and anoint with oil and pray over them. The book of James. Turn to the book of James. See when it was written. You turn to the book of James and you find when it was written. And you see that it was written about 60 A.D. It was written before 28:28 in Acts. It was written before. Now, when you come to four books in particular, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 2 Timothy, when you come to those four books, you come to four books that mention no miracles, no signs, no wonders. Now, I'm going to come to that in just a moment. But you can watch and you can check it through this New Testament, verse by verse and word by word, and you will not find a miracle performed after Acts 28:28. That's a dividing mark. Now, up until then, God spoke by those who heard the Lord. Now, let's see what we've got. Through Genesis, God spoke directly to his children. From Exodus on to Matthew 3, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he spoke through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the Acts of the Apostles, he spoke by those who heard the Lord. But a change took place. Now, I'll give you two scriptures. We turn first to John 16. John chapter 16. And in the 16th chapter of John, we get an insight into what God is getting ready to do and how he is going to make his will known. John 16, verse 12. Talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. I've got many things to say, but you cannot understand them. You cannot appropriate them or appreciate them. Now, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show them unto you. There is a period of time coming when the Holy Spirit of God is going to make known some special truths. Now, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3, you'll find what these particular truths are. And you come into that period of time in which God is speaking after he has finished speaking by or through those who heard him, whose ministry ended, Acts 28:28. Now, Ephesians 3. Let me say this before we start reading that you may know for what you are looking. Here we find a special dispensation granted to the Apostle Paul, and that there's a period in the latter part of Paul's life in which he is speaking by the Spirit of God a certain truth that has been kept a mystery up until now. So let's see what it is. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation, now Jesus appeared unto Paul. The scripture seems to bring out the fact that for approximately 3 years in the Arabian desert, the Lord Jesus Christ came and sat with and walked with the Apostle Paul and taught him by word of mouth the gospel which he preached. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to the Apostle Paul something that he revealed to nobody else up until this time. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. This is the same thing of which we read in Hebrews 2, where it said it was first proclaimed by the Lord. Jesus was the first to proclaim about this mystery. Wherefore, or whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by his gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am the least of all saints, in this grace is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God and created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, when God ceased to proclaim the word by those who had heard the Lord Jesus Christ, by special revelation he came and gave unto Paul the mystery. The mystery being that Gentiles, as well as Jews who become Christians, if they're faithful unto the end, shall share in the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul begins to preach that. So that in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 2 Timothy, we have God speaking again by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Now, let's bring this up to date. Genesis, God speaking direct. The Old Testament from Genesis on to Matthew 3, God speaking by the prophets. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he spoke by his son. The Acts of the Apostles, he spoke by those who heard him. Now, when he spoke by the son and when he spoke by those who heard him, signs, wonders, and miracles attended their way. But when he turned to Paul, began to speak of the mystery, and you'll find nothing of miracles, signs, and wonders in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Timothy. They're not there at all. They're not there. They're not necessary. And that takes us on through and up to the Revelation. And in the Revelation, God then speaks through John, the beloved disciple or the apostle. John was raptured up into the heavens. God had told him, I want you to write the things which you've heard. I want you to write the things which you've seen. And then I want you to write the things which are to come. And that concludes the revelation which God has given us in His Word. Now, it brings me to this. There are no further revelations. That's the end of it. No further revelations. Now, to set your mind at ease, I want to show you one thing in conclusion. In Romans chapter 2, chapter 3 it is, Romans chapter 3. Paul has been talking all through the second chapter to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And someone raises a question. Why the prominence given to the Jew, and why does the Jew have this advantage? And so here in Romans chapter 3, verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Now, why is it to the Jew first, and why to the Gentile second, and the Greek second? Why is the Jew figure so prominently? Well, much every way, but chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Oracles means words. Unto them committed the words of God. The words of God. Now turn to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Satan doesn't like this. He doesn't like the Jew because of this. But there's very little he can do about it. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20. Speaking of Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, He showeth His word unto Jacob. He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. God's laws, God's oracles, God's words, God's statutes, God's judgments are given to Jacob, to Israel. Now, read on 20. He hath not so dealt with any nation or Gentile. He hath not so dealt with any Gentile. He has never revealed His word to a Gentile. Only to those of the nation of Israel. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. God gave His word to Jewish prophets. Now think on the word prophet. No prophetess. And don't tell me Deborah was a prophetess. She was a false prophetess. You've got a little to learn there. You've got a little to learn about her and Sisera. Okay, now, we'll leave that as it is. But every word of God. Now, these voices coming out of the air all the time. A Gentile woman here, a Gentile woman there, a Gentile man here, a Gentile man there. They're not Jewish prophets. And God has not revealed His word to them. Not only that, He revealed His word only. Now get this. He revealed His word only to Jewish prophets who lived from Moses to John, the beloved apostle. That's the revelation of God. Now, here is God's word for you, to you, and about you. You've got to learn to divide the word of truth and see what is to you, what is for you, and what is about you. But beware of any body who comes to you with a revelation from God, especially if they're a female Gentile. Be especially on your guard against the Word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Can divide the soul and the spirit. You want to know what God wants you to do? Sit down with this book and read it and ask Him to show you. And He'll speak to you out of the pages of this book. He has everything here He wants you to know. There's nothing extra apart from this. One of the famous cliches of today. If God has anything more for me, I want it. And oh, that pious look they take on when they say that. You know, think they had the flu or pneumonia for a year. The way they come on with you with that. Here it is. Here's what he wants you to have. But it takes time. It takes time. And it takes prayer. And it takes waiting on the Lord. Father, bless this meditation this morning. Grant, O Lord, that we may have a just and correct appreciation of Thy Word and then begin to appropriate it. Lord, maybe there's a man or a woman or a boy or girl here this morning that should confess their faith in Jesus Christ. Follow the Lord in baptism, the earliest convenience. Maybe there are those who have already believed on the Lord and have been baptized would come into this fellowship by statement, letter, or promise of a letter. Any of these invitations, Father, as we stand and sing, move upon the heart of this people for Christ's sake. Amen.